Hi there, and welcome to the Chronicles of Time, an American history podcast. On the previous episode, we began our journey through the American Revolution, starting with the Boston Massacre of 1770. Today we're back in Boston to discuss the more famous event, the Boston Tea Party. Most every American knows the story of the destruction of tea in the Boston Harbor. We've been told it our whole lives. The impact of the event on that December night in 1773 has given way to a blueprint still used today, peaceful protesting. We as Americans have the right to protest, much thanks to the Tea Party. When the country is polarized and divided, protesting gives people a chance to come together and enact change. When leaders suppress protesting, they're usually feeling threatened. From the 18th century to now, to be heard is to be seen in America. Thankfully, the Founding Fathers would keep that in mind. On today's episode, we will discuss the details of that fateful night, why it occurred, and the aftermath of it. Without further ado, I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and this is the Chronicles of Time. Let's dive into the Boston Tea Party. To celebrate the nation's 250th anniversary, I'm covering the American Revolution this year on the show. We started last episode with the Boston Massacre, where British troops shot and killed civilians in Boston. This left an intense amount of tension in the city, and to Parliament and the King, Boston was, you know, kind of the problem child. Soon enough, things would come to a head once again. The people of New England loved tea. It was something that both rich and poor could drink, both adults and kids. It could be served in times of celebration, in times of mourning, and simply just because. The majority of tea purchased in the colonies was smuggled, so when the custom house looks at the records and sees how little tea is being imported, yet it's obviously still being drank, it raises an eyebrow. In England, Parliament was about to solve this problem, or so they thought. In May of 1773, the Tea Act was passed. Its main goal was to save the struggling East India Company. The company now had a monopoly on the tea in North America, making it cheaper than smuggled tea, and they could also now decide who could sell it. British assumed that colonists would be happy with cheaper tea, but it turns out, people don't like being told where they have to buy something. Once again, colonists felt too controlled by Parliament. Boston wasn't the only city set to receive tea. Seven ships would leave from England with tea from the East India Company between September and October of 1773. New York, Philadelphia, and Charleston each had a ship on the way. Boston, however, had four ships coming. Only three would actually make it due to one of the ships being shipwrecked off the coast of Cape Cod. The ships that went to New York and Philadelphia would actually return to London without unloading after the cities refused the tea. In Charleston, the tea was unloaded, but would ultimately spoil in a damp customs house. The first of the three ships, the Dartmouth, arrives in Boston on November 28th. According to a law by Parliament, you cannot unload or leave the port unless its duties are paid. If not paid by 20 days, custom house officers could seize the cargo of the ship. As of November 28th, the countdown was officially on. The people of Boston refused the tea, but Thomas Hutchinson, the governor of Massachusetts, refused to let the ship leave. Soon, two other ships, the Eleanor and the Beaver, would arrive. Remember Samuel Adams from the last episode? Well, he's back. And he and the Sons of Liberty Patriot Group had a plan for the tea. On December 16th, the day before the 20-day deadline, thousands of people gathered at the Old South Meeting House to discuss what should be done. The owner of the Dartmouth spent the day tirelessly between the Meeting House and Governor Hutchins' estate, attempting to find a resolution, but to no avail. At the end of the meeting, which lasted over 3 hours, a man cried out, "Boston Harbor, a teapot this night." A mob, most dressed as Mohawk Indians, headed towards the Boston Harbor. It's important to note that Samuel Adams was at the Meeting House and not part of this mob. This is more likely for plausible deniability. This is not to say he didn't know what was going on. The Sons of Liberty had been meeting in secret for 2 weeks to discuss what to do with the tea. There could be multiple explanations for the men dressing as Native Americans. One is to simply disguise themselves for fear of punishment. Another is so the blame could be put on the natives. As they reached the harbor, the men separated and went onto each ship. Carrying axes, the men had no resistance from the ship's crew, letting them walk right past. Between the three ships, there was 342 tea chests total, each weighing over 200 pounds each. One participant said, "I never labored harder in my life." As thousands looked on, all you could hear was the sounds of chests being opened and tea being dumped. When the tea got on the boat, it was swept off. There was to be no stealing of the tea. When a few got caught stealing or stuffing their trousers or putting it in their own canoes, they were beaten. No deaths would occur that night, and only one injury. A guy got knocked out with the chest during all the commotion, but he was fine. All the tea was dumped in 3 hours, and with just 3 hours to the deadline. History's largest pot of tea had just been brewed, and it made 18.5 million cups. Over 46 tons of tea was now in the Boston Harbor. That morning, the shoreline was covered by tea, and it was all you could smell. Once they finished, many of the participants fled Boston, knowing they'd just committed treason. So who exactly participated? Well, it's said that 100 to 150 people took part that night, but many would take the secret to their grave, so we aren't exactly sure. Most men were from Boston or their surrounding area and were under 40, with a third being under 21. Most were of English descent, but documents show men of Scottish, French, Irish, and Portuguese ancestry attended. To get the word out to the other colonies, Paul Revere, who was said to have participated in the Tea Party, rode his horse to New York and then to Philadelphia to share the news, and it spread very quickly from there. Future president and founding father, John Adams, would write of the event, "There is dignity, a majesty, a sublimity in this last effort of the patriots that I greatly admire. The people should never rise without doing something to be remembered, something notable and striking." Other founding fathers, like George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, didn't quite approve of the event. This would be the case in Boston with some as well. Some approved of the actions, while others did not. In the beginning, it was initially called the Destruction of Tea. It wouldn't get the name the Boston Tea Party until the early 1800s. When Parliament found out about the Boston Tea Party, they were furious. Prominent leaders like Samuel Adams and John Hancock were wanted by Parliament. If they were caught, they were to be brought to England and hung. In the order, it said that while they were still alive, their bodies would be taken down, bows torn out, heads cut off, and cut into quarters. To punish Boston, the port was shut down until the money for the tea was paid, which was over $1 million today. This was implemented in the Coercive Acts, or the Intolerable Acts, as they were called in the colonies. Not only was the port shut down, town meetings were banned, the quartering of troops was authorized, and British officials who committed capital offenses in Massachusetts were now to be tried outside of the colony, usually in Great Britain. The Intolerable Acts is what actually leads us up to the next episode. Next, I'll cover the First Continental Congress, in which the entire purpose was to bring delegates from different colonies together to decide how to respond to the Intolerable Acts. But hey, that's for next time. We began our journey in 1770. Today we were in 1773, and the next episode is set in 1774. We are slowly working our way to 1776, the year that changed it all. If there is a subject that you want covered or a certain person to have an episode over, email me at thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. The Boston Tea Party essentially sparked the revolution. The ball began rolling that night and didn't stop until we were free. Through the years, people from all sorts of groups have drawn inspiration from the Tea Party. Martin Luther King, anti-slavery activist, pro-slavery activist, climate change activist, and even January 6th insurrectionist referred to the day as the Boston Tea Party 2.0. I'm not sure one could call what happened on January 6th a peaceful protest, but hey, they were delusional enough to invade the Capitol in the first place. What the people did on the night of December 16th took courage and is still remembered and celebrated today. You can visit the site of the Tea Party in Boston and visit a museum dedicated to the event. If you like this episode, leave a rating and review. For citations on the show, visit my website at thechroniclesoftimepodcast.com. Thank you for listening to the show. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and this is The Chronicles of Time.